Hey everyone, this is part two of the moon landing. We stopped it abruptly right in the middle of it just because it's so long and it was such a fun debate. But we are going to pick right back up where we left off from part one. And we appreciate you guys listening. So here is part two of the moon landing.
Okay, I want to talk to you about micrometeors. So, evidence D. Or E, where we're at. I don't even know.
5A.
I think we're on D.
Yeah.
Please, as the quad.
Space is filled with super fast micrometeors that would punch through the ship and kill the astronauts if in contact. I mean, we can agree. There's a lot of fucking space.
There's a lot of shit up there.
Fuck yeah, there is. And even though, I mean, we've
done. It gets bombarded constantly with it, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm saying that. Even though the vastness of space, you know, where we talked about if we did the hyperdrive thing with Star Wars and just punched it, we wouldn't hit anything.
Mm-hmm.
There are still those little micrometeors that fucking pelt the shit out of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Those things could be traveling at the neighborhood of 120,000 miles per hour. And NASA was like, oh, well, that's not a problem because the astronaut suits included a layer of Kevlar to protect them. I don't care how much fucking Kevlar you got on you. If you got something that's bullet size going 120,000 miles per hour,
it's going right through it.
It's going through you.
Yeah.
So how do they avoid the danger of any of the micrometeors?
So the sea of tranquility, the area that they're in, is also, like you said, the moon's tidally locked.
Yes.
So if it's coming from outside of the solar system in, it's hitting the dark side of the moon.
Pelting the dark side, yeah.
If it's coming from the opposite direction, a lot of it is deflected by the actual Earth's gravitational pull and either sucking larger stuff into the Earth's orbit where it burns up anyway. But it kind of gives you a little bit of a shield, I guess you'd say. But coming from other angles, yes, there are still chances.
Or if they aren't on.
There's chances that shit's still going to hit.
Yeah,
absolutely. Chances are, but it lowers the risk a little bit.
Fuck that.
But I will give you, yeah, lucky as shit, because you get hit by one little thing, yeah, you're fucked.
Oh, you're screwed. If it just grazes your suit, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, surprisingly, we didn't see any of that, which would kind of make sense if it was on the dark side, where the other guy saw those flashes of light.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was that. Like micrometeors and that kind of stuff hitting the moon. But then as it rotates and comes back around to the other side, now you're open to it. You know? And that's some risky ass shit. But we didn't see anything. Even on the distance on the filming of like.
But you don't really see that with the International Space Station being hit a lot either.
Well, you're talking about fine dust. Right?
Mm-hmm.
On the top of the moon with a layer. If you were, because it gets hit with micrometeors all the time.
It gets hit with large ones too. It basically protects us. It sucks them in.
Right. Well, we would have seen on the film in the distance. You know what I mean? Like some dust getting dispersed.
See, I just
found if they were hitting when they were filming, yes.
Yeah.
And I just found a picture that states exactly that. When the lunar landed on the moon, there would be some kind of crater when it landed.
No.
So, there would be some kind for kicking that dust away. There'd be something. There'd
not
be
a
some,
crater.
Not a huge it crater, moved, but there would
they
be.
They did say, in the landing, if you want, they do say, yeah, it moved it away.
But when this
but it's
picture,
not a crater because they're not firing the retro
okay, well, you look at the speed. Picture that I'm looking at and you tell me. So, there's no difference in plane compared to where Buzz or Neil is standing. Compared to where the lunar sits, you'd see some differentiation between where it had landed.
The 1 inch of dust.
Yes. Compared to where this man is standing.
Ah.
And that ain't there, big dog. To let you know.
There's no crater. I guarantee, I agree with you.
We're talking
there
an
is
inch.
No crater.
Okay.
But
I just wanted to
you're
hear
also
that.
Talking about the amount of gravity on the moon. They didn't need to fire that much energy to slow the damn thing down. And to land it.
No, but there's only an inch. Then you'd still be able to, like, so if there's an inch of snow on the ground, and I stomp my foot hard enough, you can see where I stomped my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And the differentiation between where my foot was compared to where the snow is.
Yeah, and there's a micro layer of dust all over the moon, but...
And it's just a little thicker than
that, you can't tell 100% that that's not rock that you're looking at, and that the dust level's not there. You can't tell.
Oh, you can see footprints. They're there.
You can see it there.
Wouldn't it be there, though?
Well, you don't see any footprints up here, do you?
There's also your diverging shadows there as well.
Mm-hmm. It's not conclusive enough. You can't tell enough.
That's what NASA said.
Yep.
I want to get into my big piece of the conspiracy and what I think went down.
Okay.
Evidence F. I'm going to put law.
I think we're on E.
E.
Because you already took the D.
Alright. Stanley Kubrick.
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracy theorists believe that there are multiple clues in the Jack Nicholson star that point to the fact that Kubrick shot the moon landing, and this was the way of confessing it in The Shining. And in 2012, the documentary of Room 239, these clues were deeply examined by Jay Widener, I think it is. So, Stanley Kubrick, 1968, he comes out with 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yep.
Love the movie.
Good movie. Mm-hmm.
This is before, I mean, this movie set the precedence. Precedence of fucking sci-fi. Especially in 1968. We don't have fucking CGI and all that kind of stuff in there. So this guy had to create space. In 1968, with no CGI.
And he really pulled
that shit off. Mm-hmm. He had floating pins.
Did you see how they do that?
Yes.
With a huge piece of glass.
That glued it to the hamster wheel.
Yeah, the 36 foot centrifuge rig that they had the British build.
Yeah.
And they filmed inside of it, and as they were filming, they built the sets in there and they would rotate it. But you know the one scene where the chick is like walking up it to get ready to be at the right angle to walk
inside? It's shifting.
Do you see how clunky
it is?
Yeah, I mean, it's bad.
It is.
But how clunky it is. But the funny thing is, that was later used in Poltergeist, the movie Inception.
Yeah.
When the hotel rooms move around.
Yeah.
And for the NSYNC video, Bye Bye Bye.
Really?
Yes. They used the exact same ring.
It's fucking hilarious.
Kubrick was just fucking breaking everything, every mold of filming at that point in 1968. So, let's talk about The Shining.
Well, real quick, that pen, the way they filmed that was they glued the pen to a huge piece of glass. But, of course, you got to make sure the glass is so damn clean you can't see it. So, as the camera's moving around, they were able to move the glass, so the pen's going with it. And the girl's able to reach over, and it's just like a real small piece of glue holding on. And she's able to pull the pen off as if it's floating in midair.
Yeah.
And then people have done it over and over and over and used that same trick. And they've done it like Coke bottles and stuff like that. It's a really cool effect.
Yeah.
But they even said, look, that had to have been a huge piece of glass they used. And man, that thing had to have been clean.
Oh, damn, yeah. Damn it, clean. Stop licking the glass.
But that, that's definitely one of the coolest. Prior to CGI and everything else.
Anything before that in the movies, nobody had ever seen that style at all.
Or the motion control rigs that were later used in Star Wars that he developed for that movie too, so that you could get the spinning of the space station and the ships that were coming, the Pan Am flight that's coming in. But then they used that for Star Wars for the filming across, like running across the Death Star and all that kind of stuff.
Anybody that's younger, I know it sucks, but go back to this nostalgia of 2001 Space Odyssey. It is a long movie, but it is phenomenal.
And that's where your monolith that everyone saw this last year, that we're out in the desert.
Oh, the monolith, yeah.
The monolith is from 2001 Space Odyssey, and that's what everyone kind of got freaked out. Like, where'd these things come from? Someone was putting out in the desert.
Yeah.
It's from that movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the very beginning opener of it. There's a monolith.
Yeah, it's a bunch of monkeys running around the monolith. The monolith's basically teaching them how to become
smarter
and human.
Yeah.
But But the monkeys are bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's worse than Planet of the Apes bad. I mean,
bad monkey.
They do not look. They look, it's like, I can see the zipper. I mean, it's that bad.
Okay, look. Let's talk about The Shining. So, if you haven't seen The Shining, you got to see that one too. However, Stanley Kubrick came out with The Shining after the Apollo 11 mission. Mm-hmm. He did Space Odyssey a year before Apollo 11. Okay? It seems as though he's putting clues into The Shining that he faked the moon landing. And it starts out with Jack Nicholson getting interviewed at the hotel by the manager. And it's a very quick series of events that happens within, like, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes of the movie. But he's getting interviewed, and on the desk of the manager is an American flag sitting right next to an eagle. So it is, what do you think? We're talking
it's
about Apollo 11.
It's supposed to be a flag next to the eagle as landing lunar module.
What was the symbol for Apollo 11? An eagle.
Well, so, but then again, what is the symbol for the United States? An eagle. So you can have an eagle and an American flag. But yeah. Well, there's also the little kids wearing the Apollo 11.
Hold on, killer. Slow down.
Easy, killer.
This is my evidence here.
Hey. Give and take, motherfucker.
But no. In the beginning of the film, we're told the Overlook Hotel stands on an Indian burial ground. Mm-hmm. That's what the manager says. The manager who meets with Jack has an American flag on his table with an eagle looking over them. This is taken as a nod to the eagle, which was the name of the lunar landing module that carried Apollo 11. It also assumed that Overlook Hotel represents America with its long, brutal history, being on Indian burial ground. Mm-hmm. Then you have the dead twins. Okay? The shining moon landing clues the dead twins apparently signify NASA's failed Gemini missions. I mean, the twins. Mm. What's the horoscope for twins? Gemini.
Yeah, I'm a Gemini.
Right. So the Shining is based on a book by Stephen King, but Kubrick changed a lot of the details when he had made the movie, and one of those elements is the appearance of the dead twins. In the book, there was a single child, but it is believed that Kubrick used the twins to signify Gemini. Wow, I think that actually showed up right there. Okay, next part of it. The carpet patterns.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay, so the kid, while he's having the interview with mm-hmm. the manager, his son is playing behind him, and the carpet pattern is an octagon, just going all the way yep. through. Some 70s shit, you know?
It's wild.
Yeah. Stanley Kubrick, moon landing, the scene that begins from this shot is seen by conspiracy theorists as Kubrick's confession. In a shot taken from above, we see Danny playing in the corridor on a patterned carpet. Conspiracy theorists believe that it looks strikingly similar to the Apollo 11 launch pad, which you look at the Apollo 11 launch pad, and it is an octagon. Then, as he's playing Danny's sweater, like you were saying, Apollo 11 moon landing, Danny's Apollo 11 sweater has become iconic mainly due to the fact that this moment represents the fake mission. Danny eventually rises up from the carpet, and he is seen wearing a sweater with a rocket with the text Apollo 11. This is a scene as a big clue that Kubrick is indeed talking about his involvement with the fake moon landing. Room 239. First moon landing since Stanley Kubrick changed the room from 217. In Stephen King's book, the room was 217. He changed it
mm-hmm.
to 239. And it was something that Danny was never allowed to go into, which he was signifying Apollo 11. What's the significance of 239?
Go ahead, your evidence.
Oh, okay. Your sorry, evidence. Sorry. 230,000 miles from Earth to the moon. Mm-hmm. Huge strikingly hello.
237,000 miles.
Well, and it moves.
It moves between 237 and 240, I think.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Last but not least, Jack's writing. Do you remember what it is?
That I don't remember.
You remember throughout the movie, he was always constantly typing, yeah, trying to write a book?
Yeah, trying to write his novel.
Yeah.
When I'm in this room.
And then she goes, the scene is, like, she, the wife finally goes to see what he's been writing, and it's like stacks of paper this big. That's, I mean, it's ungodly amount of stacks of paper. And the only thing he has been writing is all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, right? However, in the typing of it, he isn't writing all. He's doing A11. Looks like all, but he's typing A11, which is Apollo 11. Apollo 11 work and no play makes a dull boy. So I think, while it's kind of a long shot with this, the conspiracy theorists believe that the A11 actually signifies Apollo 11 and how crazy Kubrick is going because he can't say anything.
So he expressed it through his art.
Yes. I'm done.
Done.
There's another movie too. James Bond in Diamonds Are Forever, 1971, mm-hmm. where Sean Connery busts into a NASA facility by way of the Las Vegas casino.
That was one with Jaws, right?
And a chase ensues across a film set dressed up to look like the moon with lander and everything. And
yeah.
All that. But it was basically, it was just a joke so they could use a desert, they can get on a lunar buggy and ride through the desert in the movie. So, I mean, shake it. They want to do a buggy chase across the Las Vegas desert. I mean, you kind of got to put that in there in the film to justify where the hell you get a buggy from.
Right. I don't know, man. All of the ways that Kubrick was able to do this, because here's another big thing. They set out a video. Right, you said like billions of people were watching mm-hmm. the video of them landing on the
moon. Well, they did. They did TV transmission.
They were signaling back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With a TV transmission.
From 240,000 miles away.
Yep.
And it was in real time.
Yes.
How?
And, well, it's delayed a little bit, but I mean, not by much. Because, I mean, the radio waves move almost at the speed of light.
I can drive down 71,
mm-hmm.
5 miles down, and I can't get shit with technology that we have right now. Like, it is a dead zone, right? So how were they able to pull off the filming of the moon 240,000 miles away and be able to broadcast it?
That information, I don't know.
You know what I mean? It just, it,
I don't know what strikes me. I don't know what they were using because I didn't actually look for that. If you watch the broadcasting is uncut. Never stops. It's over 6 hours straight. A straight live feed.
Yeah.
Over 6 hours of it. Back then, there was not a film. They would have to be put on film if it was shot prior and then sent out there. There was no film canister big enough because it would have to be a continual reel to fake it and shoot it on the film to put it out there. Also, the British, the Australians, and the Russians picked up the signals. Now, the British and the Australians pissed off at us because we make fun of their Vegemite and tell them, you know, we whooped your ass in the Revolutionary War and you all be speaking German if we wouldn't have helped you out, so they don't like us anyway.
Been speaking German and eating some kraut.
So, why are they gonna lie for the U.S. government?
Saying, trying our Wiener Schnitzels.
The Russians hate our asses. And the Russians would love.
Oh, they would love to know.
To sit there and go, you guys are full of shit. It's all fake. They never said that. So how do you stop the Russians if it was fake? They would know that. They would have known. They would have picked up on it. And there was, what's his name?
It's all about money.
What was his name?
Because in the Cold War, they fucking bankrupted themselves.
Oh, yeah, trying to keep up with us.
Right. So a little bit of money. Hey.
They didn't bankrupt themselves until the 80s.
They started then.
The USSR would have loved to expose us if it was all fake. And it was Alexei Leonov, I think I'm probably butchering his name, the cosmonaut, and he said, we were there at Soviet military base 32103. I swear to God, we sat there with our fingers crossed. We hoped these guys would make it. We wanted this to happen. We knew the guys who were on board, and they knew us too. They're even saying, look, yeah, it happened. The Russians are saying. They would have loved to debunk us. They would have loved to just throw that in our face.
I just want to say, spit on us. Have we been to the moon? Yes. I think we have.
Agreed.
My biggest concern and conspiracy with this was that first mission really to the moon?
No.
I don't think that we could have pulled it off at that time. And I think we were on a deadline from Kennedy to be able to pull this shit off. And they fucking... like, well, we gotta come up with something.
Fake it till you make it.
So they had to come up with something, so they created computer graphic technology decades ahead of their time. They got multiple governments to lie to us, or lie for us. They created light sources that didn't exist at the time to film and fake it. And they ended up putting retro reflectors up on the surface.
That could have been later missions.
Right where they did that. Where you could actually see it from observatories.
That could have been later missions.
It's easier to go to the moon than it is to fucking fake it. It would be easier to go there than it would be to fake it back then.
I don't know.
Then you're also got to get 400,000 NASA employees and engineers to keep a secret and never say anything.
Well, who?
For 5 decades.
Okay, but if you are one of the low-level engineers... you don't know shit about what's going on at the top tier. If they were going to fake something, it would only be a few select to know, hey, look, we're just going to fake this first one, but all this technology that we keep building up, we're definitely going to do it.
I don't think it was fake. I think it was real.
I want to say it is plausible that it was faked.
I want to say that it's real and we got lucky as fuck with the Van Allen belts and getting there and with the...
in the shadows, in the...
well, the shadows are parallel. I'm telling you, there's parallel.
Will you please look that up?
I did.
Just look up
the shadows.
Yes! That you picture, the same picture that I had showed him, where the lunar was obviously on the same plane.
No, look at the shadows. They're parallel.
Did you not see him?
Yeah, I saw them. They're parallel. And look up forensic scientist Mark Shubin. Anyone listening? Let's see what he has to say about it.
Mark Cuban?
Mark Shubin. S-C-H-U-B-I-N.
It's the Jewish version of Mark Cuban.
I'm not even touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Look. All I have to say is it plausible?
Is it plausible
that
Americans didn't trust their government back in 1969 with Watergate and Richard Nixon at the helm? And
you gotta add that in too.
Nixon was fucking dirty. Was it the Bay of Tonkin or whatever it was?
Bay of Pigs.
The Bay of Tonkin, something like that.
Bay of Pigs was earlier.
No, it was something else that was faked. And I'm trying to think what the other one. Oh, they tried to... we're going to fake an airliner crashing and saying it was like remotely operated, and they were going to fake it and say that the Cubans shot it down to try to get a war going in Cuba. So that all got exposed. So people didn't trust their government back then at all.
I mean, still don't.
That's when all the conspiracies start coming up.
After Kennedy. I think a lot of conspiracy shit happened after, like, Monroe and Kennedy.
Before that, people just believed their government.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, like even the mass media went along with it. They didn't question the government. Whatever came out of the government, that's what they did. But then I think, honestly, a lot of conspiracy theorists and theories started back in like 1964 when Kennedy died. Was it 64?
I think so.
Monroe died in 63, and he was a year later, I think. Or might have been 62 and 63. But I think that's the originality of actual conspiracy theories. The people just started questioning what the fuck is going on. And, you know, they come up with kind of kooky evidence of a conspiracy.
63.
Thank you, 63. Yeah, because 64 would have been another president.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Yeah, 64 was Johnson.
Yeah. I totally believe that the first moon landing is a plausible fake.
Now, I know there's a lot of people, too, that's watched the CBS landing. The thing is there is no footage of it actually landing. Because the rockets weren't, the cameras weren't, I don't believe, in place or something like that. For it to be faked, I think they would have shown something a little bit different. But if you watch the CBS one, they constantly sit there and go, simulation. This is animation. They're showing like the actual lunar module coming down. And it's constantly flashing across the screen. This is a simulation. This is animation. Until it lands. And then they go into the other stuff.
So what about the moon landing takeoff? You seen video photo of that?
Oh, where they actually
shoot off.
Yeah, at that point, they were able to set their cameras up and left them. And it's transmitting.
Yeah. So did you see it take off?
Yeah.
There was no disbursement of anything.
There was disbursement of some stuff. But it just, it almost looks, I think it almost looks like foil or something like that.
But what do we,
what
do we use as propulsion? Rocketry.
Not off the moon. You don't need it off the moon. You don't have the same gravitation. You don't have the same escape velocity off the moon. You could use like, you could shoot and fire a gun on the moon and it would fucking escape the moon's gravitational pull.
Rocket. You don't.
Compressed gas or something like that. I don't know exactly what they used. I'd have to look it up and see what they actually fired off with. But you're not going to have like a flame and rocket and all that going off because there's no oxygen in space. There's no way to, you're not going to see fire. There's no burn.
You see burn off of things.
Not when you're up in, you can't use, like if you blew up like
the desk. Right there. Look at those shadows. Are those parallel?
Those are.
What about in the background there?
And then I can do this one.
Those are not parallel. And you were saying they're going to be parallel.
They're going to be parallel, yeah.
Those aren't parallel.
Those are.
What about that in the background? You see where the line is going?
All the way over there, yeah.
No, that's not parallel.
And I don't know where that came from, too, so I'm going to do this one.
Okay.
I got two more conspiracies,
by the way. Yeah, do it.
I got two more. I just like to watch Mark sweat.
I'm not sweating.
No. We're just having a good debate.
I just love that I got the answers. He's got all the answers.
Love you, Mark. While you're looking at
that face, that
is used to cover by her phone, has finally
made an appearance. Okay, explain to me one more time. Why do you think the moon?
Huh.
Back in the 60s, the only way to recreate that effect would be to build a wall of millions of sun rays with no diffusion. If you look at the photos from the Apollo mission, you can see that all the shadows are parallel because the light source is 93 million miles away. But if you try to recreate that same photo using studio lighting, the shadows diverge. Huh. Back in the 60s, the only way to recreate that effect would be to build a wall of millions of laser lights so close together they'd be like pixels on a TV screen.
No, 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 no! This lighting is all wrong! I need lasers! Lasers!
But lasers back then were big and costly, so rigging together that many at that size...
Does she have to be standing there with her mouth open, mouth breathing, like, what are you talking about?
Completely. Perfect! Remotely rigorous! Go back!
Freaking laser beams.
Yes, please. Good luck. We love lasers. Scientists from Australia, Spain, and England who said they independently picked up the moon landing transmission from space.
And why would we lie for you? You're always making fun of our Vegemite.
And the Russians, the space race rivals, who had every reason to prove us wrong.
It's been 50 years, and we haven't even claimed that you faked it. You beat us fair and square this time, but we'll get you back in 2016.
But where's the tangible proof that we went to the moon, huh? There isn't any.
Actually, there is. While the astronauts were on the moon, they laid out a reflective material called retroreflectors. So today, when an observatory on Earth aims a high-powered laser at them, it bounces...
But that could have been later shows. That could have been later missions that they put that on there.
I just want to put this on record, too. I don't believe anything that Adam ruins everything. I don't believe a fucking thing that guy says.
I pulled it up because that's the only one I could find the video of Mark Sheehan.
Understood. Fuck that guy, by the way. What do you say, Mark?
What do you think?
I'm looking at all this, and I'm seeing it all goes parallel with each other. And on this, I can't tell.
That's going
I can't
that
tell
way, and that's going
but
that
I can't,
way.
But I can't tell because it's so far in the background that I can't see the actual angle itself.
But it shouldn't matter, even if it was in the background. Right?
It should the shadow
not necessarily,
should be following
it's not
the
where
thing.
The light source is and where it's coming through and where that shadow is actually coming from and what it's of.
I'm not and saying I'm just saying that is fuel to fire shadow. Right there.
I see the shadow of him right here coming down at an angle too.
I don't see a shadow of that man. Barely. A small one. But it's equal to...
I don't think it's equal. I think it's coming this way, too.
No.
I can't tell
his shadow. I believe his shadow is equal to the lunar shadow. By the way, this picture is on elitereaders.com. Proofs moon landing fake conspiracy theorists. Just in case anybody else wants to take a look at this.
What other ones did you have, man? You said you had a couple more.
Moving on. You buy me a beer later, Mark. It's fine.
Shit. Buying you shit.
The one that I thought was really interesting, and I didn't really know about this one. It was the Sea Rock.
Yes. Wow. That's a great one.
There is a very... It's probably one of the most famous pictures from the moon landing. It is a picture of a moon rock. If I had to judge it, I would say you take two softballs and put them together. There is a perfect C, symmetrically marked, unlike anything. There's no way it's natural. But theorists say that this was a prop. And they placed it wrong for when, they meant to flip it, and they put it prop side up.
I have
There's also a picture that's zoomed out on that where the C doesn't exist.
So
on
I
that
have
exact
to,
same rock.
I have to kind of debunk that one. Okay, because I did look into the Sea Rock. There's a couple explanations for it from NASA saying that there were a lot of copies made of that picture. And when they were copying it, they said that there was a hair that had gotten onto the copy. So what you're saying is we're seeing a fucking pubic hair? On a fucking photo or some shit?
Right. I've never seen a hair shaped perfectly like a C.
But two, in props and on movie sets and everything, they aren't going to put a fucking C on a rock. They're just going to put the rock there. You know, they're not going to label every single fucking thing on the set.
You also see the C, but you also see the crosshairs on the photos too. That have the C on it. The ones that don't have a C on it. There's no crosshairs. So it's also a label.
I kind of have to debunk that one.
I saved this one for last. You can't see Armstrong's camera.
Yes. Or really, that's a great one.
You can't see his chest. A camera.
He's holding it. He's got another one that's on his suit.
But in the reflection, you don't see it.
Yeah, you don't see anything. You don't see any cameras at all. When the guys were both of them,
that's had one of the cameras. Ones that were debunked. That yeah, it's actually there's one on his suit also. There's a cam because you can see his hands in one of the shots of the kid from the camera. You can actually see his hands out the front of him as he's moving around and manipulating things.
Pull that picture
up. Kind of like a
Captain
cam on a cop,
or like a GoPro or some shit.
Yeah.
You know what sound I miss with a powering up of something?
Sega. Thank you. That one right there.
Back in the day, yeah. Where the PlayStation little short chime, little...
Alright. While he's looking it up, can you at least say it's plausible that the first one...
I will go the Joe Rogan route. And Joe Rogan... At one time. Okay. What are you trying to show me?
I don't see no camera.
You also don't see the lower part of his chest. What's that big thing on his chest right there?
Turn it sideways. Like, blow this shit up.
I know I got it. I know I got it in my notes here.
I don't know. That one kind of looks like he is holding a camera.
Well, he is holding a camera. Because how else did he get the shot? Look.
You can't see shit off that pixelated garbage.
So then you really can't take that into evidence.
Yeah.
All right, well, let me find a better one.
Okay.
Let me find the rebuttal to that. So he goes, arms don't fly, the moon landing is fake because you...
I have so much fucking...
So essentially, is this what you're saying? You have one of those on his fucking chest? Trying to maneuver?
I don't know which Apollo one that's from. Because there are so many.
That's a big-ass camera to have on your chest.
In one of the pictures from the moon landing, you can see Armstrong clearly reflected in Aldrin's visor.
Yeah.
Some people point out that Armstrong does not appear to be holding a camera, so someone else must be taking the picture.
A little better one.
Armstrong couldn't have walked on the moon with a regular handheld camera in his bulky suit. He needed something that was easier to manipulate. The camera used on the moon was mounted on the front of his suit, which is where his hands are in the reflection.
So did both of them have cameras on their chest?
I'm sure that they had, like, one of them was at least the cameraman, yeah.
There are no camera on that one.
Well, they probably had a spot that they could put it. I don't know.
I'm saying bullshit.
But back to that. Can you say at least plausible?
I will go the Joe Rogan route on it.
Okay.
Joe Rogan is famous for diving down the rabbit hole of not believing in the moon landing. And he debunked it for years and years and years and years and years and like said, oh, it's all fake, it's all fake, it's all fake. Recently now, he says, he doesn't know.
Right.
I will go the route that yes, it is plausible, but I don't believe it was faked.
Okay.
But I also don't know, because there's also a chance that this is such a great, great hoax that everyone has been fooled.
Besides Flat Earth, if this is a hoax, this is the greatest hoax
in the world that
has ever been pulled off.
Agreed. I concur.
It is so difficult to do, but it just doesn't add up. But there is a chance. There's always a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Just like there's a chance we're in a fucking simulation. But,
yes,
because I can't prove it, but you can't prove it is either.
Right.
So it's like right in that cusp of just where it's like, fuck.
Mr. Austin?
But I still hold on to that. I believe that it did happen.
Okay.
We didn't go to the moon in 1969.
I don't think so. Not with just the... Me and Mark had a little bit of a discussion before we were live. I just don't think so. Do I think we've been in the moon more recently? Yes. Not in 1969, though. There was no way. Between the radiation,
the technology that we had at the time. I just don't think so.
I'm in the same boat with you. I don't think that we went to the moon with Apollo 11. I think afterwards, yes. And we had built technology up, because it's going to take millions of dollars and time as a resource, mm-hmm. to be able to shoot somebody up there safely. And with Kennedy setting that timeline, by the end of this decade, we're going to get somebody up there. They fucking faked that first one. But not to give any discredit, or no disrespect, I'm going to be an Italian here. I'm going to insult you, but then I'm going to say no disrespect. You know, like, you know, your mom's a whore. No disrespect, you know, but, you know, your mom's a whore.
I have no idea where you're getting that stereotype about Italians from.
But
fuck you.
No disrespect to Buzz, to Neil, to the other guy.
What's his call? His name's Mike. We've disrespected this man this whole time. Mike, we are sorry.
Mike Collins, we are very
If you went sorry. To the moon, you're fucking awesome, man.
I still believe in you.
I don't.
I'm just saying, no disrespect to them, but I think this is one of the greatest hopes that has ever happened.
I also don't want to get knocked out by Buzz Aldrin if he's still alive.
Oh, that was a flat earther.
I can't remember if he's still alive or not.
He is.
Is
Buzz
it?
Is, yeah.
Yeah. When he was 80 years old, he knocked out a fucking flat earther.
Here's a fun fact. Here's a fun fact for you. Buzz is the oldest man to go to Antarctica. Really? I mean, yeah. He just recently, I think it was last year, did a travel to Antarctica and was doing a fucking expedition out there. Damn. Fucking like 90 years old, fucking walking around in Antarctica, yeah.
Freezing his balls off.
Well, they had to stop the expedition because he was starting to really feel it. Mm-hmm. So they canceled like the rest of his travel there and took him back to the bunker or whatever they have down there. But yeah, he's the oldest man. Now, he holds two titles.
Twice!
Yeah.
In all seriousness, so like, I don't think so. So, like Ian said, no disrespect to those guys or discredit to anything that they've done. I just don't think so.
Then, have we been to the moon? Absolutely. But that first one in question for me.
Like Apollo 14, or 15, 16, 17? Doable. For sure.
I believe there's so much evidence that could fuel the conspiracy and everything else, but I just need so much evidence that says it's just too hard to fake.
Space Odyssey?
It's hard as shit to fake.
Like he just said.
And that's where I'm sitting there going, yeah, I don't know.
2001 Space Odyssey, and he's trying to use the highest quality film to be able to do this. And then they said, we need you to degrade it and make it look blurry.
Dial it back a little bit.
Dial it back to kind of fake it. I think it's plausible.
And it's still the 6 hours of uncut footage that's going to televise that other countries are picking up. And they're not picking up from the United States. They're picking up from space.
So you're talking about like the old canister film.
The old canister film that they filmed movies on. Uh-huh. That they filmed Star Wars on. They uh-huh. filmed everything on.
Where you have to like switch the reel
out. And they used to have to switch the reel out okay. for okay. an hour and a half movie.
Okay. How much money does the government have to where they can't build one this big and just fucking let it go?
They got a 36-foot reel of film.
Why not? That's cheaper than fucking sending somebody to the moon.
Facts. And then you don't have to look for cigarette burns either when it's time to switch the reel over.
Right.
I think it would have been easier for him to cut to commercial and switch the fucking film out.
Having a doctor talking about Winston's.
Yeah, cut the commercial. We're sit there and go, okay, well, we're about to have interference because of the something or other. Something with the rotation. We're about to have interference.
That's some bullshit I made up on the spot.
And they switched the camera over. Well, now, there was transmissions and stuff like that where they talked about, well, they went behind the dark side of the moon. They lose all communication with the
Earth. Yeah.
You could do that same shit with the feed from...
And just change the reel.
And just change the reel. They never did that.
Rather what if they just made one big fucking reel?
it seems like you're trying too hard to.
The biggest conspiracy in the world. Fuck yeah, you're gonna try hard.
It's just too much to fake it when you can do it. It's so much easier to
fake it till you make it, baby.
Just do it other ways. I don't know. I still think it's one
big debate still to today.
What do they say? There's three kind of truths out in the world.
Personal truth. Fuck, I forget what it is. I know what you're talking about, though. Personal truth. Fuck, I forget.
It's one truth where it's the truth that is see tangibly and you have evidence for. Then there's the truth that everyone agrees upon it, so it's true.
Like a mass truth.
Mass truth. Yeah. And then the third one is the personal truth, which is like, I believe in God, therefore it's true, and you can't debunk because it's a personal truth. And yeah, this could fall under the mass truth, but still.
At any rate, it's fun.
It's a good one.
It's fun to look into this kind of shit.
It was a good one for our podcast.
Yeah. And speaking of which, while Austin's looking it up on the personal truths, you guys can always reach us at theabnormalmatterspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you're thinking. If you guys want us to do something odd, bizarre, that kind of stuff, let us know. We will do an episode for you. You can also reach us on Facebook, and Mr. Austin's going to be taking that over, so he's more social media and that kind of stuff than I am, so he's going to be hooking us up with that. You can also reach us at a phone number if you would like to leave a message or do a text to us. Absolutely, reach out to us, please. The number for our phone number is area code 216-260-4703. And like I said, you can always leave a message or send us a text. Let us know what you're thinking. Are we doing shitty? Are we doing good? What kind of topics you want us to do? Did you find it?
Theory, somatic, deflationary truth.
Which would be the personal. Mm-hmm. That's all I got, guys.
That's all I got.
I'm empty.
All right.
I'm spent.
You're empty. Time to fill you up with some beer.
I'm down for that.
Time for me to fill up with soda water.
Yeah. You want to tell them about it?
It's going to be a rough one.
It's going to be very rough.
Especially with St. Patrick's Day coming up this month.
You know there's odds on you, right?
That's great.
Just don't let me down, Mark.
We're not going to tell you what the odds are.
I have no problem telling everybody I'm 41 years old. Ever since I was 21, out of the military and whatnot, I've been drinking, you know. I'm a social drinker. I love to drink. I think I've been sober, I think, a total of maybe 6 months in that 20-some years. If you add up all the days together.
If you add the days. It's not consecutive, people.
Oh, no. There was a time from like 21 to 29. Frick, I was probably, sober maybe 2 or 3 days. No, not that bad. I drink at least once, twice a week. But when I do drink, I like to drink. Go hard or go home kind of attitude. So I saw a bunch of my friends were talking about, well, we're not going to be drinking in the month of February on the 29th, 30th, or 31st. Because those days don't exist.
Right.
And I said, as a joke, I said, well, why don't we just extend that all through March? And they said, okay. And, oh, shit. What did I get myself into?
Fuck. Sobriety.
So I'm going sober for the month of March. We'll see how it does.
Yeah, we're here to cheer
on. We'll see how long it goes.
Absolutely. I'm going to cheer you on, but, you know.
I'm going to enjoy a drink.
We have odds against you.
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, I don't drink at home. I have the same beer that's been in my fridge.
That I've been copping off you ever since I came over.
Since we've been recording at my house, and the only person that's drinking it is Austin.
Yeah.
I thought it tasted a little weird.
So that's kind of how you know you're not an alcoholic, when you sit there and you have alcohol in the house and you don't freaking touch it.
Right.
True. And I don't drink at home. I'm a social drinker. The hard part is going to be going to the bar. Like we do after this podcast.
Which is what we're about to do.
And I'm going to sit there and watch you guys drink and sit there and go, okay. Give me a settle.
I'm kind of bummed too because my birthday's on Wednesday. I was hoping to get a drink with Mark.
Last night, I was telling him that you were going sober.
Maybe I get a cheat day.
Last night, I told him, like, yeah, he's going sober for March. Wouldn't it be funny if I made a whole bunch of pictures of him and put him around the local bars? Just saying, if you see this man, do not feed him alcohol.
I'm so for it. It'd be so great. Until it's like all over and it's July and Mark can't get a drink anywhere in middle Ohio. He's got to drive to Cincinnati or Cleveland to get a beer. He'd be pissed.
Well, luckily, I have a lot of clients that
we're telling
that might have a job that could feed me alcohol somehow.
We've already called.
I've had customers buy me a bottle of Jameson for solving their problems, fixing all their issues on their networking computer systems.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, what do you like? I was like, I like Jameson. But they went out and bought me a bottle. Here you go. All
right, guys. We're going to call it an episode. We'll see you in a couple weeks. We appreciate you listening.
Yeah, we'll give you an update. So start your betting pools now, everyone that's listening.
I got five on it.
Everyone wants to get their, what are the odds right now?
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll catch you in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Later, guys.